pick up the volume of Holy Scriptures in front of you in the pew and turn with me to the second chapter, or the third chapter rather, of the book of Genesis. Genesis at the chapter 3. And we're reading at verse 9, the ninth verse of the third chapter of Genesis. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skin, and clothed them. And the Lord God said, Behold, a man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand, and take also of the tree of life, and eat, and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Amen. And God will bless his holy word to our hearts.
for his great
name's sake. I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost. I take, thank God, he undertakes for me. And the people of God said, amen. That's a very poor amen. The people of God said, amen. That's a bit better. As you are aware, this is Mother's Day. And I was thinking of this service, and my mind was directed to the 20th verse of the third chapter of Genesis. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. That text itself is a miracle text, because Adam was completely ignorant of what motherhood really was. He was his wife, but in their sinless estate, Adam and Eve had no family. And yet here in the mystery of the garden, after the terrible catastrophe of the fall, and the perfect man and woman had become stained and became totally depraved and dragged the whole world of all men and women to come to the depths of darkness and to the damnation of hell if they didn't repent and believe the gospel. And yet Adam stands forth and he says up to his wife, I'm going to name you. And he named her Eve, the mother of all living. That verse alone declares the miracle of Holy Scriptures and declares also the eternal truthfulness of the divine record. The trouble is that people read the Bible and they never think of the setting in which it was written. They don't examine the words carefully, and they don't think of the result of those words as they were spoken at the time they were spoken. Now, Eve was a sinless woman, but she was sinless and she was stainless, because she wasn't born. She was created. Someone said, some Puritan writer said, she must have been very beautiful, because even sinful women are beautiful. So if you took sin away from her, she must have been a very beautiful woman indeed. The created woman of God. A perfect type of the church of our Lord Jesus, who had for himself a bride, and that bride is his church. Now, man needed her. She was needed by Adam, because God said it's not good for man to be alone. All bachelors remember that. And he said, he needs a helpmate. And the woman was to be a helper, not a hinderer. Will every woman please note that as well. Needs a helpmeet. And so you will remember that this most capable woman, Eve, appears on the scene. She was perfect, but she was also capable of becoming suddenly imperfect. She was exceedingly beautiful and perfect, but she was capable in a second of time to be ugly and hateful. She was man, dust, man's dust, double refined, because Adam was brought and made of the dust of the ground. But Eve came from Adam. So she was the dust of the ground, twice changed and refined. But she was capable of dying, and she did die and brought death to the whole family of humanity. She fell, but in falling she had one great intention: to bring her husband down with her. And of course the scriptures tell us that she was the person in the transgression. If you turn over to the New Testament, you will find in the New Testament a very important passage of scripture, the second chapter of 1 Timothy. Verses 11 to 14. And it says there in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11, "Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection." I hope all the women hear that tonight, and I hope they attempt to obey it. "But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve." Now mark this. "And Adam was not deceived." He was not deceived. "But the woman being deceived was in the transgression." The transgressor in the garden was not Adam. It was Eve. But Eve dragged Adam down with her. Think of it. Two perfect persons in the Garden of Eden. Sinless and stainless. Adam, perfect, and Eve. And then suddenly, Eve has fallen. She has lost the beauty of the glorious robe of infinite holiness. She has lost all the wonder of her sinlessness and perfection. And she stands there in utter ruin. An unfallen man and a fallen woman. And she pleads with Adam to take the fruit. She pleads her love and all that she has done for him hitherto. And she says, "Adam, you must join me. I know I'm different. I know I'm lost. I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm disobedient, but you've got to be a sinner with me." And Adam in his folly took of the fruit of the tree. And you will notice when God speaks in this chapter, he deals with the devil first, and then he deals with the woman, and then at the end he deals with the man. The devil the woman and the man was the order of God's passing sentence upon them. So here we have a woman, and in her best estate, what a wonderful woman she was. But we find her fallen, and she not only fell herself, but made it possible for the Holy Spirit to have to write, "In Adam, all die." But thank God, but in Christ they shall be made alive. Now would you please notice with me the first thing that happened after Adam spoke here in this third chapter of Genesis. Immediately Adam had spoken, something happened. God took action. Verse 20, Genesis 3, "And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also," mark the word, "also." Thank God there's an "also" in the grace of God. If that wee word had never been written, there would have been no gospel, no salvation, no hope for a sinful race of Adamic creatures. But thank God, "unto Adam also and to his wife," and he didn't leave out the wife, was brought in to the covenant of grace. "Did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them?" Here is Adam and Eve, and they are naked. Their golden garments of glory have been stripped from them. They stand there in the shame of their nakedness and their sin, their pollution and their perdition. But what does God do? He takes the covering of the sacrificial lamb, and he takes the skin of the sacrificial goat and the sacrificial bullock, and with their skins he makes a covering. And that covering is a special covering. It's a covering stained with blood, and it's a covering of a dead person who died that they might live. We have a perfect presentation of Calvary here. The sacrificed substitution is taken, his covering is taken from him, and that covering is placed on the fallen woman and the fallen man. There you have the anticipation of the cross. But before that, the cross was anticipated. Because how was Eve created? She was created when God called Adam to sleep a very deep sleep. And when he slept, God had the first operation operated by himself. He opened the side of Adam. He took forth the rib, and he made that rib into Eve. So Eve came out of the man. But she came out of the man as he slept. Death in Scripture, sleep in Scripture, is pictured as death. So when Adam died, as it were, in the deep sleep, Eve came. And so before you have the blood sacrifice of redemption, you have the death of Christ in type, in the wondrous fact of predestination, that God was not going to leave this race of sinners to perish. But God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So the cross is twice pictured here in its deepest and fullest message. Poor Eve, standing there in her nakedness. Poor Adam, standing there in his confusion and his darkness. Upon them shone the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. If Adam hadn't have believed God, he would never have called her the mother of all living. He would have said she's the mother of all dying. But he didn't say that. He said she's the mother of all living because Adam was converted at that very moment. How are you converted? You're converted when you believe God. And Adam was standing there with a fallen woman at his side and he himself fallen. And he didn't doubt God. He didn't say, you're the mother of all the dying. He says, you're the mother of all the living. And he believed God, and he was saved. And his wife was saved with him, because, will you please note what the Scripture says, that Adam also did the Lord God make coats of skin? No. Unto Adam also and to his wife the coats of skin were given. The woman was included in the marvelous pardon that was made by God here in the Garden of Eden. Of course, they were driven out. But they were only driven out until Jesus came. And there came a day when Jesus came to this world. And He gave His life a ransom for a many. And now there are no cherubim at the garden gate. Now there are no flaming swords at the garden gate. The way is open that all may come in. At Calvary's cross, that's where you begin when you come as a sinner to Jesus. Oh, the marvel of this book. Oh, the wonder of its doctrine. Oh, the mystery of its revelation. When I come to look at the cross, I think of an old Welsh preacher who was called Christmas Evans. And if you want to read descriptions of Calvary, there's only one book that's worth reading, as well as the Bible, and that is the Sermons of Christmas Evans. And Evans says, I've got a glowing theme as I stand at the cross. This makes me a dumb man to speak and summonses all deaf men to listen. Christ has vanquished death by dying. He has disrobed the grave of the triumphal garments by wearing those garments himself and then leaving them in the tomb. He consecrated the sepulchre by slumbering there himself for 3 days and 3 nights. Death is a destroying angel. But death is now no more. The tomb is no more a house of death. Christ is not here. He has risen. Behold the place where the Lord lay. Behold, as Samson carried the gates of Gaza to the top of Hebron, doors, posts, bars and all, so our Lord Jesus Christ carried the gates of death to the top of heaven's hill. Posts and bars and all. And Samson left them there. Where are the bars to heaven? They're broken and they lie broken before God's throne. There's no bars to hold us from heaven now, because Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sinner left its terrible mark of stain, but thank God, God washed it white as snow. Sing unto Him, ye spirits that are redeemed before the throne. Lift up your hallelujahs. Clap your wings, sweep your harps, and say, All hail, thy vanquisher of death, thy destroyer of the grave. Let the echo reverberate to the lowest depths of hell, and let the fiends bite their fire-tormented tongues and gnash their teeth in vain, while you, the people of God, sing, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And it all happened at the place called Calvary. There are two books in the Old Testament you should carefully read. The book of Ecclesiastes, which is an exposure of the sin of the people of God. And the book of Solomon, which is the exposition of the salvation of the people of God. Until you use the measuring line of Ecclesiastes, you'll never know the depths of your own sinful heart. And except you use the measuring rod of the Song of Solomon, you'll never know the wonder of God's love and forgiveness. These two books represent the experience of Adam and Eve, the book of Ecclesiastes, and of Adam and Eve redeemed, the Song of Solomon. Can you sing this song? Are you redeemed through the Savior's? We go back to the beginning of it all in the midst of the early history of man. And we see that God was there finding a way whereby as banished be not always expelled from Him. I trust that every man and every woman and every boy and every girl in this house this night will have a saving interest in the Redeemer's blood, and will be washed in the blood of the Lamb. It's not death God is calling us to. God is calling us to life everlasting. And that life can be yours. There's life for a look at the crucified one. There is life at this moment for thee. Then look on thee. Sinner, look unto Him and be saved, unto Him who was nailed to the tree. May it be so for Jesus' sake. Let us bow our heads. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the good word of God, for its sweetness and its blessing and its love. And we pray now that no one will stand outside in the darkness, but they'll come into the light, and the light of the glorious gospel of Christ shall shine into their hearts. Oh, blessed Spirit, seal thy gospel word to all our hearts, and take our thanks for saving us poor sinners through the blood of the everlasting covenant. And the people of God said, Amen.